Empowering humanity, supporting unity.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Paz Mesa Playhouse, the place where you come to play, slay, and lay down the way to become your realest, truest, most authentic self. I'm one of your hosts, Janie, the Mindfulness Coach.
And I'm Angel Santiago, also known as Life Coach Angel.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. As always, we want to make sure that you are subscribing to our channel here at Rise Above TV, where we are empowering humanity and supporting unity. If you haven't already done that, please do that. And of course, if this episode you listen to and you're like, oh my God, you know who has to hear this?
Oh my God.
Oh my God, Jackie. We were just talking about this the other day. I'm sending this to her. So anytime you share our episodes with others,
share
it on your pages and stuff. We really appreciate it. So we have been covering...
Well, this is episode 6. We're talking about equality.
Equality, the last letter of P-E-A-C-E. And not that either or... Not that any of the letters matter more, because if you really look at them, they all do sort of, you know, interconnect, right? So really quick, peace, the P was patience. The first E was equanimity. A was acceptance. And then C was compassionate curiosity. And now we're at the E, equality. And just to remind you, Paz Mesa. Paz means peace in Spanish. Mesa is within in Greek. And it also means table. So you're sitting here at our table with us. And we're
sitting at the peace table.
Yeah, the peace table.
Welcome to the peace table.
We welcome all people here. People of all walks of life. Every religion. Every color. Every... What are all the things?
Well, you might as well read the quote. The quote tells you...
Oh, yeah.
This is a great quote about equality.
Connor Franta, okay, said this. Race, gender, religion, sexuality, we're all people, and that's it. We're all people. We're all equal.
That's it.
And those are the things that we want to touch on today, are what are the things, despite all of our differences and all the things that divide us and, God, get us acting a fool, really.
Yeah, the things out of all, despite all that. What makes us equal?
What makes us equal? What really unites us? And what are the things in the coming days and years here on planet Earth as a people, as individuals, can we start to embody more so that we can bridge heaven on earth, peace on earth? That's really what it is. So it's not really about a religious thing, although it is a spiritual thing.
It is a spiritual thing. And here's the definition. So according to Google, equality is the state of being equal. I like that. The state of being
human beings
equal, especially in status, rights, and opportunities. Now, there's a misconception that I feel that in general, we hold when it comes to wanting equality. And that's we want the same. Same everything. And when you have this expectation that equality means we are the same across the board in all aspects, then that generates a feeling of competition, that there's an imbalance of some sort,
also
that there's
resentment,
an inferior and a superior. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's not what we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the understanding of equality that we want to share
with
the listeners.
Right.
That what we're talking about is equal in the eyes of God, whatever that means to you, but we can agree. We can have an understanding that there's a creator, right?
Yes.
That created all that is, right? Mm-hmm. Then we're equal in the eyes of God. And that means we're equal in worth and in significance.
Yes.
And then that, from that standpoint, then we can have a conversation about equality.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, you can hold more, you can hold space with respect. Meaning, how can we sit in front of another person who comes from a completely different walk of life and view things totally different and have a civil conversation about our differences and get compassionately curious. And it's about like dignity, the state or quality of being worthy of honor or respect, a sense of pride in oneself, self-respect. So we want to have self-worth and self-dignity, And there's so many things in the world that tell you, depending on who you are and the walk of life that you're in and where you grew up, will say to you, oh, you're less valuable of a person than this person over here. Simply in our culture, mm-hmm. in our world, like sometimes it's color, you know? And so what we're saying is, if at the core, like what Angel was saying, if we are all coming from one creator and there's all the science that backs up, there is order within chaos. If you look up the Fibonacci sequence and you see the design that's in all things, even in the body, and mm-hmm. Da Vinci talks about this and writes about this and stuff, even pi, like we're pi people, you know, like that's amazing. And so when you start to look at the physics and the science that says this is how we are one, it always comes back to light. And it's light that's powering up every single heart on this planet. And light is a form of energy. And so we're all coming from a source of light. And in the Bible, it says God is light. And let there be light through us. And we can't really appreciate that without the darkness. And there's,
and you can go even even smaller. Like the moment that the sperm
hits the egg. There's a spark of light. It's zinc. The zinc causes it to flash. Mm-hmm. And they discovered this. It's amazing now what we have, the technology that we have to be able to view these things. But literally, it's almost like seeing the mini version of what we would call the Big Bang. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Exactly. And even if we wanted to touch on, because there's so much division and fight between religion and science, and there's a fusion. There's been a split and a fight and a divisiveness where they wouldn't give equal respect to science, or the science community wouldn't really give equal respect to what the ancient sages and stuff wrote about.
Well, here's a perspective that could help the people that are coming from that science community, mm-hmm. right, that are not doing that. They're right. not bridging that gap, is that to consider that the Big Bang was God splitting itself into billions of particles
so that it could have life, experiences, to create all multiple life, universes and planets and stars.
So if you don't want to adopt the whole idea of there's a creator in your science, that's the way that you can bridge the two.
Right.
Yes.
And even within, okay, so going back to creation, and I love that you brought that up because it was on my mind. God said, let there be light. Said is the bang. There was some kind of something that happened where there was not all of the everythingness. It's like they say, no beginning, no end. All of the within the nothingness, all of a sudden this everythingness emerged.
But even now, they have so much, they have the technology that they can look into their nothingness
and see that that is everythingness. That is
everythingness.
Yes, like more exactly. Existence is more 99% anti-matter.
Right. It's like thing that's in there. It's like what holds
everything together. It's glue. You know?
Yeah.
It's the glue. I call it the quantum glue. It's really So it's so crazy to think. When I started studying light, and I told you, and I geek out on acronyms and stuff, so just like this peace one, and that's kind of how Creator speaks, right? And there was an acronym for light, LIGHT, living in God's harmonious truth. Now, one of the things that Angel was touching on is for people that really don't buy, when they hear the word God, that can mean stuff. That's why sometimes people say creator, maker, source, but God, that in itself was given a gender. And there was an inequality to the Alpha and Omega that God is. And that's why if we are an extension of God's image, God is the left and right brain. God is the feeler and the thinker, right? Like it's the electromagnetism. It's the light. They're needed in order for God to have an experience with its own self. It created a splittedness so that there could be relationship.
Right.
And so within this space, we're saying if we get curious about what that is and what that is within us, mm-hmm. and how do we power up the light within us and all of the virtues and principles and everything that we touched on peace, this is powering up the peace from within. When you start aligning with the virtues and the principles and the ways of being that Yeshua spoke of, and you really not just intellectualize it, but embody it, and now you're breathing the pulse of Christ consciousness everywhere you go, now your vitality, creativity, and prosperity are naturally going to increase, because now every cell in your body, 50 trillion cells, whatever, in your body, are like these little like light bulbs, basically. And the heavier, darker space that we live from and move from is actually depleting. It's sucking the light, the energy out of the cells. And the more loving, kind, and grateful and peaceful you are, the more energy and vitality. And that goes back to immunity. So I know that was like a little bit of a tangent on that, but it kind of comes back to the equalness in what's allowing our bodies to even exist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, and that's it. That's and, exactly and what we have to look right? at. It's like, what is that thing that, despite the differences, makes us equal? Mm-hmm. Like, where is that? And it has to do with our human beingness. Mm-hmm. It's getting in touch with the essence of who I am, which is who you are, which is what all is.
Which is love. And
the more we get into that, into contact with that, then we can stop looking at like your quote that you read about equality.
Right.
It would sex, race, gender, shit, go into politics, go whatever right. you want to, whatever it is.
We have so many things that we can be the, on one side of the fence right? versus the other.
Like, despite all that, we're people, you know? And so each of those things, they're just choices that you as a person, that you get to make for being a part of the human race. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have to divide you and put you in a little corner over there because your choice is different than my choice. Mm-hmm. You have the right to make that choice.
Right. And this is also a great time for us to evaluate our beliefs mm-hmm. and get curious about where our belief structures came from, because we don't want to keep repeating history. War and division and fighting and killing and each other and all this stuff. It's like no mas. Mm-hmm. It's enough. We've been mistreating even Mother Nature. She deserves a level of respect. There's a symbiotic relationship. That's going on, and we want to disregard that. Like,
if you're talking about beliefs, then look at the beliefs that the Native Americans had. Right, you know, Native yeah. Americans saw God
in everything, which in is what chocolate, we're supposed
in
to.
In the corn, in the earth, in the water, in the animals, in the sky, in the rain, in yeah. the sun.
Yes.
I mean, they saw God everywhere, and so the respect that you're talking about for Mother Earth, it's not there anymore. Mm-mm. Because we don't look at life that way.
We don't. We've lost. Oh, go ahead.
And even when Jesus Christ came into Earth and incarnated here on Earth, you know, He is God in man. He came to show us how to see God in man. God like, what in
does
each
it look,
other.
What does divinity what does look divinity like look in like humanity?
Embodied in humanity.
And how do you bridge and integrate
right.
the
and
two?
And so we're supposed to see it in each other, and yet we don't. You know, mm-hmm. we're just see it in a certain select few.
Yes.
And He said, you and I are the same.
Yeah.
What I can do, you can do, and more.
I know.
So it's like, how do we miss that?
Oh, even the golden rule. Even the what golden you do rule. Unto others, you do you unto do thyself. Yourself. And every religion, if you look at it, there's this cool little, like, I'm sure you could Google it, but you can find a statement like that in all
Very
of them.
Similar, right?
Yeah. And that's why we have to go back to that.
So if we don't come from that place, from that understanding, are we ever gonna be equal? Because we don't even have a
well, equality and liberty. Like, that's what really
that's
want.
What
we
I'm
want
saying.
Equality and freedom
right.
to be able to live in a world where I am safe.
Yep.
And what does that look like? For us to be stealing from each other, lying to each other, cheating on each other, killing each other. The only way this is going to heal, this comes from just a shit ton of trauma. Mm-hmm. We have to acknowledge there have been certain groups of people that have had it way worse than others. Now, do we need to stay in a state of victimhood? No, but there does need to be compassionate empathy and a right type of love and understanding for us to move past and beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't feel safe for a lot of different reasons.
Right.
And that's not fair. That's not okay. That's not how it was ever supposed to be. And for thousands of years, it's been like this. People have been conditioned to think this is human nature. Now, we are human, but our actual nature is divine nature first, because we're light before we are incarnate. Mm-hmm. Carne, meat, matter. And we think that the matter, that this body, matters more than that other stuff, and it doesn't. Mm-hmm. And we're starting to realize, look at our mental health, our emotional health, our spiritual health is horrible. And that's why we have so much disease and illnesses. Yep. We have, there's a Native American term called Wetiko, and you can look that up, W-E-T-I-K-O. And it's essentially this psychosis. So if you, even Darwinism and like this stuff they're starting to understand, if you really look at nature, yin yang and everything in nature, universal laws, they work in harmony.
Well, even Darwin, and if you look up his report and his findings.
Yeah, like if you like really get into it.
He mentioned survival of the fittest very little compared to what he observed as cooperation. Collaboration
and symbiote, yep,
symbiosis within the species, how they were really working together.
Exactly.
They weren't competing.
Yeah, there but was they very took that sentence. Yeah, those that run the world.
He observed that survival of the fittest concept, but it was very little compared to what he saw, which was cooperation, collaboration, and oneness.
And everything that they're studying, all the micro, macro aspect of like creation. That every single tiny little thing has a purpose, mm-hmm. has a function. Mm-hmm. And even within the body, if you study it, it's like miraculous. Right. I mean, that's really how I came it's to so really precise. Believe in a creator.
It's very precise.
The word God earlier, going back to acronyms, I was really uncomfortable with that word for a long time because of all the connotation and biblical stuff and the trauma and stuff around that I had. And I just like wasn't saying God. And then I heard a acronym, and it was like, what about genetic omnipotent designer? G-O-D. And I'm like, oh my God, that's so dope. Mm-hmm. Because it really satisfied that sort of scientific aspect of creator. Mm-hmm. It's the ultimate mathematician. You know, and so for us to be able to return to that space as individuals and tap into our worth and value and our power, really. But you have to use it wisely. With great power comes great responsibility. And we all have the power of free will. Now, people can kind of like argue that because we do have biological impulses. So going back to human nature, we do have a reptilian brain, you know, and we do have these things. But we are more of the other. So that's why we have to master our emotions, master our nervous systems, so that the intelligence that lives within the heart can be the thing that operates all of your faculties. You want a divine mind. You want a divine heart. You want a divine belly. You know what I mean? You want everything working for you. And right now, we've got so much sickness and so much trauma living in these areas that people are operating like from these programs that support inequality and intolerance. Is that a word? Intolerance? Mm-hmm. And that's where we need to get to. Yeah. It's like, can we tolerate our own darknesses and our own bigotries and our own things?
Until you can tolerate your own, until you can accept your own, until you can embrace your own, you can't do that for anyone else.
Yeah, you know? And this losing this reverence for life. Life, like God, life, anything that is life, like you were going talking about the natural, like the nature and things like that. We are water. We need water to survive. We need the air. We need sun, and we need the dirt. And we are those things. Right. Your air, the air, the natives knew air is like our mental body. The fire is your spiritual body. The water is your emotional body. And then the dirt represents your physical body. So for us to be disrespecting those four elements that are God. I see water as God. You know what I mean? I see all things as God now. Once you start to heal yourself of all of the sickness and the psychosis that ties to the illusion of separation and it collapses, your entire existence changes. Your external and internal reality change.
No, yeah, I totally agree. And I think that what we're talking about is like there's like equality in based on from the context that we're talking about it. Like equality within the eyes of God, equality in equal in worth and in significance, right? That is a state of being, right? And equality in like where we come from and why are we here, right? Mm-hmm. There's a certain qualities that sort of kind of that we can embody to show that to one another, which one of them, a big one you've been talking about is respect. That's one. Mutuality, right? That there's this like reciprocity between our relationships. And again, it doesn't have to be only for significant relationships or your family or like your parenting. It's just relationships, period, right? And that there's a level of civility in how we treat one another.
In ourselves, right? how well we treat ourselves is how we treat how others. Yes.
Uh-huh. And essentially that we're getting connected. There's a humanness that we're tapping into and that we're offering that to one another, right? And so now when we come from this idea of oneness, that we come from the same source and that we're here for the same reason, now we enter, no matter what relationship, now we enter a mutual agreement of why we're here, where we come from, how do we want to treat each other, right? And that brings respect, neutrality, reciprocity, civility, humanness. All those things come the moment you start tapping into that essence of who you are, because all those things are already within that.
It already exists. And then,
like you were saying, now you're letting the source come through your heart and operate everything about who you are and how you show up in the world.
Yes.
You know, it's like there's a quote from the psychology, the spiritual psychology that I studied, mm-hmm. by the founder of that psychology. He said, "The soul already knows everything there is to know. It's just waiting for you to get out of the way." Yes. You know, the human, the ego, the identity self,
the temporal,
get out of
set
the way
of memories,
and let God come through you.
Well, now would be a good time for a short break, so stay tuned for these special messages.
Meet Aura, an app scientifically designed to work with your body's natural ability to rest and restore. Find thousands of meditations, soundscapes, and stories carefully crafted by the world's top therapists and coaches to help your brain ease into sleep. Aura uses the latest advancements in machine learning to understand what works for you so that every night its recommendations become more personalized to your specific needs.
Rise Above TV offers mindful content for optimal living and loving. Check out P3, where conscious entrepreneurs share how they've tapped into their power, passion, and purpose.
One of my favorite, it was just a really short prayer or mantra that I got in a saying, is like, I live, move, and breathe through God, or God lives, moves, and breathes through me. You know, it's this constant life. Mm-hmm. Like, all that's happening is because of this incredible, right, mysterious, invisible source of all things, mm-hmm. that's in the center of every atom. I think about that, like when you see how it's sad that we split the atom. I know we're curious, but anyway, we split the atom, we saw what it did. Now there's about 100 trillion atoms within every cell in our body. So we're literally the bomb. Mm-hmm. We're like dynamite. You got so much power inside of you that you could tap into, man.
Yeah, for real.
And we feel like, and that's why it's time for us to get our minds right and start looking in, connecting the dots to these things, mm-hmm. and starting to see the bigger truth, which is the real understanding to harmony. T-R-U-T-H, the real understanding of harmony, living in God's harmonious truth. There's always this T-R-U-T-H harmony that comes into play, because this is a time for us. It's alchemy. Mm-hmm. It's time for us to create a new way of beingness, and we have to do it individually, and then it bleeds into families and in communities and in cities, and it's about creating sort of this new, more caring type of civilization.
Right.
Gentleness does not mean submissive, and peace does definitely, it's not a full-blown submissiveness to peace. Mm-hmm. There is an assertiveness, which is one of the reasons why we do the work that we do. Like, there's action
but even,
behind
but
it.
But even if by some reason, like, because right now, like, I know that's not going to happen right now.
Right, it's not immediate. It takes time. It's like planting seeds and watering it.
But can I lead my life that way? Even if
all that stuff is not happening. Yeah.
But within my own life, within my circle, within the people that I can reach, the people that I can influence, the people that are around me,
that makes a difference.
Can I live that way? Even if, because some people go, well, what's the point?
Because it's not, it's not happening globally. And that's the problem.
What's the point? Well, that's if no one starts,
it never happens. And that's what they're hoping. They're hoping that people feel like this is such an overwhelming situation. Look at how ridiculous. You're going to sit here and tell me that this planet one day will have a planet of people it'll literally be a civilization again. You know what I mean? And it's like, listen, we can think whatever we want to think at this point. Like, right? Like your perception and then what you believe to be true and deciding to make and create peace within yourself and seeing and understanding and doing the research, it is in numbers. And it's like, can you imagine if every one of us just said, let the dark and the evil just completely take over. I'm going to let that also be a consumption of my own life. We're not going to get anywhere.
Well, even if like people are like, even if you can't hold the concept of thinking about other people. So if you come from that place where you can't hold consideration for other people, you can't hold a third perspective and you only think about you and you, maybe you're coming from a more selfish place, right? That's okay. Then at the very least think about like, you must have a family. Like you must, even if you don't have children or you're not married, but you come from a family. Mm-hmm. So even those closest relationships to you, well, why couldn't you at least think about them? Mm-hmm. You can't think globally yet, or you can't think regionally yet, then that's fine. Stay within your home, right? And then let's operate our relationships from that place.
Yes.
You know? And then maybe then you can think about others after that, doing it after a while, you know?
And there are power struggles that go on. Speaking of family and like relationships and things like that, we touched on a little bit about the idea of equality and how that plays into parent-child or a boyfriend-girlfriend or like in marriages, whether it's same-sex or opposite-sex or whatever, how to maintain equality of balance within those types of relationships.
I think that even in those types of relationships, because I mean, I think about like when I was parenting my daughter when she was little, you assume like, I think if I come from the role parent-child, then each role, I have a job description for each role. This is the way a child behaves towards the parent, and this is how the parent behaves towards the child. And if I operate from the role, then there's not going to be equality. From what we're talking about,
right? Which is what I want you to help. Yeah, I want you to help them understand.
My child's younger, right? And now I'm a parent. There's a superiority kind of thing. I have influence, right? But at the end of the day, she's still or he's still a human being,
right?
That has similar needs, basic needs as you do. So that's where the equality comes. And I think for those type of relationships, boyfriend, girlfriend, fiance,
whatever
husband,
that is.
Wife,
yeah.
You know, mother, son, father, daughter.
Friendships even.
Yeah, friendships. If we can get outside of the role and just connect from the humanness place, then there's equality.
Right.
But as long as there's a role, like the quote you said, if I focus on the gender, if I focus on the race,
right.
If I focus on my status, if I focus on my political
ideations,
or if I start operating from there, then there's not going to be equality.
Right, because now you're separating yourself.
You're not
finding the thing that unites you. You're looking at the thing that divides you.
And if we see those things instead of labels, again, going back to what I said at the beginning, they're just choices that you as a human being, as part of this human race, are choosing to make, then it's a different story because it's just, you have the right to make that choice.
Yes.
And it's different than mine.
Yes.
And that's okay because I have the right to make my choice.
Right.
But that doesn't make me any less human than you do because you're making different choices than me.
Yes. And it goes back to you reminding me about the voice and our expression, our ability to use our voice and the respect, the equality that each voice has, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Or maybe there's a better way to say that. The importance of value, the significance of what people have to say. What we have to start learning how to do is how to express ourselves honestly and effectively. And it's natural for us to get passionate and things like that. But how can we speak without all the anger and the agitation so that it becomes into this like fight versus a conversation,
which is what we're going for. So what could be, let's go into that part of the podcast, which is what is something that we can start doing that the people that are listening, they can start doing to help them to start moving to this
caring, this
kind
like
of, you know,
consideration and like
to come to this place of equality that we're talking about. Like what can they start doing? Like what's one thing that you would recommend?
Okay, so what's coming to my mind in terms of relationship. So you could take any relationship. Maybe you can go to somebody and start with, how do you feel this relationship is unfair? Right? I mean, like, in other words, let's say it's, we'll use the example of a husband and wife. Mm-hmm. And there's things that you start getting into just patterns, and then you just kind of like fall into patterns that aren't very healthy. And it's good to kind of analyze these things. So it's like, hey, when it comes to chores, what do you feel? Do you feel like this is like a pretty fair place? Do you feel like there's equality in the responsibility? Mm-hmm. Responsibility, it's like, yes. Or when it comes to us communicating, do you feel that your voice is equally heard? Do you feel like your preferences are equally respected, mm-hmm. or ever paid attention to?
Like that.
You know, or something like that.
Yeah, that's, it's like an assessment, like where you, mm-hmm. just kind of like, let's do like an assessment of where we're at.
Right.
In our relationship. But that goes, like you're saying, that can go for any relationship.
It can go for any relationship. Even a teacher and a student. Hey, that would be a great thing. It's like, listen, how do you feel you were treated?
It's just an assessment, right?
Like, yeah. Just like a mindful review, you know, of like an analysis of like, hey, how am I showing up as an unfair, imbalanced person? Am I somehow maybe being like that without realizing it? Then educate yourself, mm-hmm. right? Like, go on YouTube and search.
Well, that's where self-awareness kicks in. Mm-hmm. One of the ways you can get self-awareness is, again, ask people.
And that's my other favorite.
Ask your people. Some people are I'm kind of in a place where I'm reflecting and I'm curious about something, and you spend a lot of time with a certain select few people. Ask them, do you think that I may come across this way? Is that in me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the kind of work that it takes to get here.
Right. It's having those difficult conversations and asking those hard questions. And in order for you to really tap into your paz mesa, you know, tap into your peace, you have to become, go ahead.
No, because it just reminded me that in order to do that, in order to get to this place of equality, you have to take in an outside perspective. You have to be able to take another perspective other than your own.
Yeah, because otherwise.
And when you can hold and be willing to at least listen to another perspective other than your own, then we can start having, then we have hope of getting to a place of equality. But as long as I'm only holding my perspective and that's it, and I'm not open to anything else, there's no equality.
Right. It's like point of view. Mm-hmm. It's like I'm only seeing from my point of view. And that's another thing we have to start to learn, how and why each person has a very subjective reality.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of stuff that you and I love geeking out on and stuff about how the subconscious mind works and everything. And it's time for us to take accountability and responsibility for how we're showing up. And I feel this is sort of the time more and more people are starting to delve into their mental health and starting to look into, mm-hmm. what are the different ways I can really help myself, because people are learning now. It's not just about talk therapy. This stuff is in our bodies. And so there's a mind, body, heart,
it's in our energy, in our cells, in our energy,
mm-hmm. in our field, in our biofields. Mm-hmm. And then there's also, when you start to really look into this, you start to see how some of this stuff is impacting you mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, which are your thoughts, your words, your actions, mm-hmm. and things like that. And mindfulness is about paying attention on purpose in the now, non-judgmentally.
Correct.
And that's, you have to flex it every day with everything.
And what I would say, like the thing that I'm going to say this probably for every episode.
I know, meditation.
Meditation, man. Like, you talk about self-awareness. You're talking about accepting yourself. You're talking about, well, not even that, facing yourself.
That's the biggest
then
one.
Then accepting yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's the practice. You know, like in conversation, we were in conversation with someone the other night, and they were wanting to be at that place. Like, how can I, when so-and-so says something to me, and not process it through my wounds so that I don't get triggered and I don't react? Well, that's what it takes. I wish there was a practice that can help me do that. I'm like, there is.
Yes.
It's called meditation. If you can sit there with yourself and not react to yourself, guess what? When you go out into the world, you're not going to react to everything that comes at you. And that includes other people.
Mm-hmm.
When you can accept yourself, you can accept anyone and anything else.
Yeah, you have to go.
And that doesn't mean you agree with everything that's out there.
Oh, I'm so glad that you said that too.
That doesn't mean you have to agree with that. Acceptance doesn't mean you agree.
Mm-mm. You can actually still be opposed to it.
Still disagree with something.
But how can you do that?
Well, you can make room for it. It's like, okay, well, that can exist. If my reality can exist, then so can yours.
And that's where we need to get. That's the place we need to get to.
You know, if I, like a lot of people talk about, and I was there too, looking at life from the concept of like, this is good, this is bad.
Oh, yeah.
This is good, this is bad. Well, and equally so, what's good for you could be bad for someone else.
Uh-huh.
And what's bad for someone else could be good for you.
Right.
So it's like, if you can make room in your mind for good and bad to exist in your mind,
right,
then you can make room for someone else's viewpoint to exist as well as yours.
Yes. And we also can recognize, despite the fact that you were just saying, like, holding space for sort of this not feeling like something has to be good or bad. There are choices that we make, and all choices fall under the law of cause and effect.
Right.
And there are consequences to all things. And some people look at consequences as a bad thing, but really it's just an effect to a cause.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some choices that we make that are generative, right? And then there's some choices that we make that are degenerative.
Mm-hmm.
But even in those spaces and choices, there's still something for us to be learning.
Right, correct.
So I that's where it's like that fine line between good and bad, like kindness and non-kindness. Like, there's meanness and mm-hmm. kindness. And some could say, well, which one is good between being kind and being mean? Now, they both have a purpose.
They both have a purpose.
Okay, they both have a purpose. But one definitely helps your cells and life itself more than another. We can use our words to uplift people mm-hmm. or break them down.
Right.
And now, granted, people are always like, for instance, like right now, I could be like, put you on a pedestal, you know, and say praise you in so many different ways. And then at the same time, or not at the same time, but then I could also come and say you're like the worst thing ever, like, mm-hmm. oh, you know, think that you're this like villain. And I'm sure there's probably people in your life that probably may even view you as such.
Oh, yeah,
which totally. Is like, you can't really control that. But going back to the choices that
but even that doesn't make me any less of a human.
That's what I mean. That you know, doesn't that does not make you look less in the eyes of God.
No.
Like, you are precious.
I don't think
precious.
Of myself any less.
Right.
And God definitely doesn't see me any less, mm-hmm. you know? So why should I?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think for us to...
Like, I was telling someone, right? I think it was at the... It might have been at the men's retreat. It was like, if you're being perceived in a certain way, like if 10 people... out of 10 people, 8 people perceive you the same way and they're experiencing you the same way, okay, bro, like there may be some truth there for you to kind of take a look at.
Common denominator.
Right, right. So you may want to I may want to see what they're really talking about. What's the truth in what they're saying?
Mm-hmm.
But if out of 10 people, 2 experience you the same way and the other 8 experience you completely different than mm-hmm. them, then maybe that's completely subjective.
Right.
And there's really not much for you to do to look at there, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So.
And a lot of this stuff, going back to this, like, there's been like this bullying culture that ties to inferiority and mm-hmm. superiority, mm-hmm. which ties to this hierarchy that's been going on
right.
for a real long time. And it's like penetrated and infiltrated the school systems and corporations and our TV. And it's like, and even our own selves, like we become like our best adversaries.
Right.
And we're almost more comfortable being like that than we are being nice and kind. There's like a weakness to it or something. And so that's another thing that I'd like to help clean up. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And in that there's power in peace. And right now we see when people, that inferiority, superiority thing, it's about power and control. And when that kind of power and control is never healthy, and it's always just going to lead to bad news bears.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically what we've gotten. You know, every nation is, you know, wanting power and control. But what if everybody made peace a priority and they all started to like change their mind about what they were really fighting for
mm-hmm.
and what safety actually meant, which is so funny because most of these people are very religious people, but I'm pretty sure in the commandments or somewhere it's like, thou shalt not kill. But for war, it's okay. I don't know,
right.
you know, and
right.
I know that that goes back biblically and stuff like that. There's this agreeance. There's an agreeance and a story that our creator, like 100% supported the desecration and death of people to prove points or to be, do you understand what I'm trying to get at? Like, I just, maybe we'll need to cut this out, but we can cut this part out. But God is at the core benevolent, and there would never be a need to, it just don't, doesn't make any sense. It's like God killing its own self or telling people to go kill it's a piece of itself. Because in the strategy, like that's important and it's tied to like the story, and it's like,
No, I get that. But the problem is that everybody thinks that their God is the correct one.
That's what I mean. Like, and we're going to keep fighting.
According to whose God
is the one.
Is the one that says that God is benevolent when my belief in God says that I should kill.
Yeah, like, I know. And you're like, so in the name of God, more bloodshed in the name of God.
Until we get to a central understanding that of oneness.
That's it. Oneness. Unity consciousness.
Until we get there. It's going to be really hard to get to a place of equality, you know, from what we're talking about.
From the place that we're coming from and what we're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, if anything, if we can't find like a source of oneness, right? If we can't find it from a spiritual perspective, right? That might be hard. And maybe we can find it from the human perspective. And that's that we all struggle and we all suffer in one way, shape, or another. So if we can't find our oneness in our spirit, in our spirituality, in our beingness, then maybe we should just find it in our humanness. And that's that we all struggle and we all suffer, and it's an essential part of life. But then we have to be careful, because then people start measuring, oh, but my struggle is harder than your struggle.
Yeah, they start, like, we're like back in a competition.
Now we're back in the competition again. It's like someone would say, like, well, grief to someone that died versus grief that someone that broke up with you. Like, which one's worse? Someone would say, well, grief for someone that died must be worse because you lost them forever.
Right.
But the person that left you, you lost them forever.
Anyway, or so they might as well be dead. Or how do you
explain to a kid that lost their safety blanket, that suffered a loss, and they're grieving?
And that hurts on the inside.
So the blankie is
insignificant.
Is significant compared to the death that you had. And that's what we're talking about. We start comparing and competing, and because it has to be the same all across the board. Like, so if we can find our unity and our spirituality, then let's find it in our humanness, and let's just stop competing and comparing, man.
I know. Jeez. It's exhausting. That's what's stressing us out and making us sick.
Seriously.
Start to eliminate some of that and just see how your sleep gets better.
And if you can just understand that every single person is a process, it's a process that's evolving and that is growing and that is healing at its own pace.
I know, because sometimes we want to force that on people. I know.
Then we can start talking about equality. We can start talking about equality.
Right. I know it's a big doozy, especially because there's so many topics around that really like at the forefront. In so many different ways, and they could be very complicated conversations. So, but that's another reason why it's important for us to learn how to communicate effectively, which means learning how to be an active, compassionate listener, as well as somebody who can express themselves and really be able to share. You know, because so many people, they're either overly active and like super aggressive, or they just like bite their tongue and don't ever speak, and we have to find that happy middle ground.
Well, I mean, this conversation can go in so many like different arms and legs and like tangents, because I mean, we just wanted to offer an overview or a context or a container for it, you know, of what it would mean by equality. But I think if you listen to all the episodes in this series, what was shared in each of those episodes will help guide your path a little bit, you know, and I think at least that's a step in the right direction, and that's what our hope was with this.
Yes.
I don't know if you have any concluding thoughts about this, like, no, as we feel this episode.
Yeah, it's funny how this was, equality was the last one on the list, because we kept going back and forth, like, how do we really touch on this subject because it's so big, but what we wanted to focus on was the connection of like the significance and the worth and the value and the purposefulness and the beauty that we each hold,
that we each hold
and that we each contribute.
Yep.
And that don't ever think that the little things that you're doing aren't making a difference, because they really are.
Every act matters.
every act of kindness, every time you transmute and overcome and rise above an old belief that was actually causing mm-hmm. you to be one of those people on this planet that was rigid and not seeing the bigger picture. If you're doing any of that work, we commend you greatly. We want to thank you so much for listening and supporting our endeavors here at Rise Above TV and here at Paz Mesa Playhouse.
Yeah, and if you, again, if this resonates with you and if you find it helpful and you can think of anybody like Jane said at the beginning, you know, like it, share it, comment, give us your thoughts. We want to hear it. You know, thank you for tuning in.
Be sure to connect with us on social media. Of course, we want you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, but you can find us at Rise Above TV. And then we have our personal pages mm-hmm. at Janie the Mindfulness Coach.
Or at Life Coach Angel.
Yes. And as always,
this is the show where we come to give you
pieces of peace for your everyday life. Peace be in you.
Paz Mesa Playhouse is a Rise Above TV production. To be a part of the mindfulness movement, visit riseabovetv.com and subscribe to our YouTube and podcast channel. Be sure to like and follow us on social media.